We don't share that often, but we used to and we're working on getting that started again. We used to have a healing class where we would, and it was more in person, and we did this prior to all the things happening with COVID and all of that, which kind of adjusted everybody's schedule and things that you could do. I mean, of course, up in this area, same in New York, you know, there were restrictions and all of this. But we're working on getting those started again, because if you want to harvest in anything in life, you're going to have to plant seed. And so if you want a harvest of financial prosperity, you've got to sow the word of God. You've got to sow the seed of God's word in your heart so that it does what? It produces. And God's word is seed. So in order to produce a harvest in anything, you've got to sow seed. So if you want to have a harvest of healing in your life, you've got to produce, you've got to sow seed, you've got to keep feeding on the word of God, hearing it, speaking it, in order for that to produce in you. And sometimes folks just, you know, we get to places in our life where things are happening and we're looking for God to do something, and I'm not saying he doesn't, that would be foolish of me to even think that. But for us to have faith in anything, right? And you know, what do they say? Scared prayers don't work. It's faith prayers. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, and it says we have the petitions that we've desired of him. So we have to first start, when it comes to healing, when it comes to prosperity, you've got to know that it's the will of God for you, not for somebody else, for you. So that when stuff happens in your life, you know the word of God is forever settled in heaven and it cannot change, and I take hold of it, even though I'm going through some stuff. I take hold of it. And devil, you can't not move me off of that. And that's the place we have to be. How does that confidence come? It comes from feeding on the word of God. It comes from meditating on it, not, as they say, watching Gunsmoke and all of that stuff and your feeds on your Facebook and spending all your time doing that. I'm not saying that's wrong, but if you got it out of balance, it is wrong. Right? So in other words, okay, you want to do that? That's fine. I'm not against it. I keep up with people on those mediums. But keep it in balance. Keep the word of God what? First. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you have need of will be added to you. So that's really what I wanted to take, kind of going around the horn here. But I'm just sharing that today. I want to just touch a little bit. You know, our time is limited, but I wanted to just start touching a little bit on the subject of healing again. And just let's go back and let's look at what the Word of God says. Not what somebody experienced, not what somebody happened in somebody's life. We don't know all the things. You know, I remember, people make decisions. And the reason I say that is because, sometimes people in this world think in order to leave this earth, you got to go sick. No, you don't. You don't have to leave this earth and go back to heaven if you're born again. You don't have to leave here sick. You can just, like in the Old Testament, it says they just gave up the ghost. Their spirit left them. And so I think we need to start looking at the Word of God. And there's so many people have been, we just have to have confidence that what God said is so. And no matter what I'm going through in life, no matter what my body, oh, remember, if you're born again, your spirit is redeemed. There's no sin in your spirit. But this body hasn't been redeemed. It's not immortal. And God never promised us that we were going to stay on this earth. He said, you know, you're going to, if he tarries and he doesn't return before, you know, our time, then we're going to leave this earth. But we don't have to leave sick. We do not. We can just leave our bodies. And as the scripture talks about, just fall asleep. How many people have heard stories of people just fell asleep and they go in, they go, hello, and they're just gone? Well, they just left their body. But we don't have to leave our body sick. And so we've been so indoctrinated in this earth that that's just, you know, my lot in life. No, it's not. It is not. And I think what we need to do is go back and look at starting from just the beginning, when you just start walking through, and when we become convinced that God's word is settled, and when we become convinced that I have in him in whom we have redemption through his blood, I'm redeemed. I've got the life of God in me. Healing is in God. And who's in me? Who's in me? God's in me. So what does that mean? You know, A equals B, so if A equals B. If healing is in God and God is in me, then what is in me? Healing is in me. Well, then how do I draw from heaven that promise? How do I draw that to become manifested in me? Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh unto him must what? Believe that he is, and that he's what? A rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That means I got to seek him. Now, it never says the devil's not going to try to put something on your body. Never said that. Never said it. You know, I've been through a few things in life, you know, as some have. I started working these principles right when I got saved. I can't answer why that is. I just was drawn to it. I started operating and speaking scripture and the word concerning healing. And I started doing that. And I reaped the results of that. I walked in health. I walked in, I just call it supernatural. And I remember I reached a point in my life, this was probably 23, 24 years ago, right around 1999, just running in the ministry. My diet wasn't great, and I was violating natural laws. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Just doing stupid stuff. You're just going. You know, you're invincible. You're going. You're not even thinking about it. And I had started to get a pain in my stomach. I mean, it was strong. And I'm singing in the choir, and I'm doing that. Anybody knows if you sing, you're going to put some pressure on this diaphragm and this down in here. And boy, I mean, when I sang, I was standing up on a pulpit with Pastor Clinton, and I'm literally holding on to the pulpit because I'm about ready to hit the floor in so much pain. And this went on for about a year, and I'm speaking the word just like I had always done, and nothing is changing. Nothing. And it's getting worse. And I'm like, bless God, I'm healed. Well, I'm not saying that's wrong, because we should, but are you listening for direction from the Holy Ghost? Are you listening to him? What's your relationship like? Are you hearing him? Because he will show you what to do. He will show you where you need to make corrections in your health and your diet. He'll show you. He's your helper, and he lives in you. And so I remember coming back from vacation. I was up in Vermont with my family, my mom and dad and siblings. And when I got back, I'm standing in the shower, just enjoying the nice warm shower. And I'm standing there, and I heard very softly, right here, heard my spirit, heard him say, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of this year. So I continued enjoying the shower. Wasn't in fear, because I'd been speaking the word for over a year. And it took about 2 weeks for me to go get it checked. And so, kind of a circuitous thing, you know, I went to the emergency room and, you know, all of those things that you do, right? Then I, you know, had an appointment with the top surgeon and all of this stuff, blah, 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 blah. But I wasn't comfortable. There was something in my spirit that said, nope, this isn't right. So I never went back to that doctor. Never went. I said, nope, that's not for me. And so I ended up going to a chiropractor. And you think, what does a chiropractor have to do with that? So I go to a chiropractor, but he happened to be a nutritionist. And so, long story short, He had dealt with this kind of stuff. And so he said, I'll have you turned around in 2 weeks. My face must have hit the floor because he said to me, boy, I think he called me boy. I said, boy, do you know how many of these things I've handled and done? I said, no, sir. He was up in his upper 70s. He said, about 5,000 or 6,000. So he had my attention. And then he started to just talk to me about natural things. And I realized that I had violated some natural laws. You know, you can speak God's word, but if you're violating natural laws, the things in the natural, where were they created? From God. So we live in a natural body. We are a spirit, but we have a natural body. So we feed our spirit with the word of God, but we also live in this natural body, and you can do things to it. Just tell me, I mean, just in the natural. I mean, they're not even saved. I believe God has raised up doctors and people to research and do things. I believe that's God that has done that. To do what? Help people. That's the love of God. That when they're not even seeking him, he's seeking people to help them because he loves people. He died for them. So in less about 2 weeks, all that changed. All the fire, everything went and changed. And I realized that I had violated some things. And when I went back and started just meditating on it, I remember some nudges from the Holy Ghost. You know how you get those and you just go, ah, keep going. And I remember him saying, stop drinking coffee. And man, I didn't. And I reaped the results of that. So I'm just sharing from the side of healing. That have I received supernatural, just hands laid on me or just the prayer of faith? Have I received supernatural healing in my body? Yes, absolutely, many times. But that one time, I stood and 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 stood, nothing changed because I was violating some natural laws. So I think sometimes we have to keep things, and this is where the teaching of God's word comes in, that sometimes we may not be getting results in an area of our lives. We need to stop. I'm not saying don't confess the word, but we need to stop and seek him. Say, Lord, this isn't changing. What's up? What's going on? Do I need to do something? Speak to me. Direct me. Get quiet. Seek him. He's your helper. And those are the things that, and I'm just talking about healing. That could be any area of your life. You know, you're running up against a wall. Something's not changing. It's not flowing. Stop and get some direction from him. Or he may already be giving you direction. He is not listening. Or you don't want to hear what he's got to say. Or maybe you just don't recognize his voice or his leadings. So anyways, God made us in his image and likeness. This is Genesis 1:26. He created us. And I like what the New Living, it says in Genesis 1:26, let us make human beings in our image. So we're made in the image and likeness of God. In John 4:24, God is what? A spirit. Then it goes on, those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God has made us a spirit. And I like this. See, go back into the Psalms. Minister Joe and I, we were talking about this yesterday over breakfast or pre-breakfast, kind of a pre-breakfast breakfast. We had the word for breakfast. We had spiritual food. Then we went and got some natural food, right? So we had our pre-breakfast. But Psalm 8 talks about how God views man. This is in the Old Testament. So it says here, I'm going to read the New Living. It says, when I look at the night sky and I see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them? Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. God did that. Now, when you look up the word glory, it really means to be encompassed and encircled with him, his glory and honor. So man, I mean, God really, he did some things where man was concerned. And then verse 6, this is where I was going. It says, you gave them charge over everything you made, putting all things under your authority. Or their authority. So God crowned man with glory and honor and then put them in charge of everything he made. Everything. So now we're talking about what? Adam here. But then what happened? Adam sinned, he disobeyed God, and that authority that was given to him, all authority, was taken away and given to who? The devil. And you can go in scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:4, right? This is what it says, right? New Living Translation. Satan, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of them who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So that's why when Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's the exact image, the exact likeness of God. But that authority was lost by Adam. And so that's where God began to put into place a plan to redeem man back again. Because he put him in charge and then he lost it. And now God put a plan in place to send his son to in the likeness of man, right? It was God in Christ reconciling the world. So he put in place a plan for a God-man to come. It was, this incarnation was what? A merger. It was God on one hand, but man on the other. And it had to be a man to come into the earth. It couldn't just be God come in. It had to be a man that redeemed mankind. It had to be a man to take the sin of all mankind. It had to pay for that. So that's why when you see in Philippians, I'll read this from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. So the incarnation was what? Deity. It was a deity with humanity provided Christ, who could stand as man's mediator, equal with God on one hand and united with man on the other. So Christ did what? He assumed all of the obligations that man was required to pay for. So Christ came. He what does it say? He's the mediator between God and man. He came to destroy the works of the devil. So this is the wonderful plan that the scripture calls Christ the second Adam. Or it calls him the last Adam, not the second Adam. It calls him the last Adam. Because if you say second, then there could be a third or a fourth. But he came once and died for all. So he is the last Adam to do what? Take back the authority that was lost. And now, who has been given authority? Oh. So when we accept Christ, that authority that Adam had over all things that he made comes back to us. So let me ask a question. Do we have authority over sickness and disease? Yes. 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 Say, I have authority over sickness, disease, weakness in his name, in the name of Jesus. Why? Because if I've accepted him, he did what? He destroyed the works of the devil. He took back the authority that he had and did what? He gave it and restored that back to man. Now, his, as you could say, he's still operating in this earth. And that's why when it says he's the God of this world and he blinds the minds of them that don't believe. But for us, we believe. So he doesn't have authority over me. His authority has been broken over me. That's why when it says in Colossians, what does it say in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13? Let's read that. I'm going to read this from the King James. It says, who hath what? Delivered us from the power of darkness. That word power is his authority or jurisdiction. So he had authority over us when we didn't know Christ. But now that I know Christ, it says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So let me read this in the Passion Translation. I love this here. Colossians 1:13 in the Passion Translation says, he has rescued us completely. Oh boy. Say, he's rescued me completely. Yeah, he's rescued me completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness. Huh, it sure was, wasn't it? And has translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved Son. Verse 14, for in the Son all our sins are canceled, and we have the release of redemption through his very blood. Redemption's been released to me. How? Through his blood. So that means that I don't have to be subject to the things that go on in this earth realm because redemption's been released to me. I'm not under the control or the tyrannical rule of the God of this world. I'm not under his, I'm not his puppet or his subject anymore. Think about, there's another scripture that comes to mind when we read this. Ephesians chapter 2. Let me see if I can, when we talk about the God of this world, and then we look at Ephesians chapter 2. Let me just get this here. Well, I'll look it up. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 in the New Living Translation. It says, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. So that's how we used to live. That's how we were. But when I became born again, I've been released completely from his tyrannical rule. I'm not under his, I'm not his subject anymore. It's no longer I that live, Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. So now when we talk about something happens, when we sing, something happens when I use that name, yeah, every knee's going to bow. He's going to bow to the name of Jesus when I use it in faith. When I speak it in faith, he has to respond. My body has to respond in the name of Jesus. Circumstances have to change. They have to. Amen. So this topic, when we see the fall of man or the fall of Adam, what happened? Sin entered, or disease entered into this world. How? Through sin. Sin caused the disease problem. So we have that. And so sin was what? Passed down through mankind, its lineage. And that's why we had to have a supernatural incarnation of Jesus so that there was no sin in him. So there was no sin. There had to be a perfect sacrifice where there was no sin in him. So when we look at disease, since disease is part of the curse, then its remedy must be the cross, has to be the blood. So who could remove the curse but God, and how could God justly do it except by what? Substitution. So this is why when we see the other scriptures in Galatians 3:13, I'll read this from the New Living Translation, says, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on the tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham. so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. So this is not something that's going to be done. It has been done. Christ hath or has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So you can go back. We're not going to do it right at this moment. But if you went back and looked at Deuteronomy 28, you look at the first 14 verses, it talks about the blessing, or the first 13. And then from then to the end, 14, 15, all the way to the end of that chapter, it lists the curses. And so we've been redeemed from what that was, which is the curse of the law. We've been redeemed from it. He took that. You know, I was sharing with Minister Joe, I saw a message, a teacher teaching this, and we've heard her before, but she was talking about when Christ was raised from the dead. And let's just take a look. When we go over to Ephesians chapter 1, and let me just get over there. I'll read it from the King James, Ephesians chapter 1, and around, I believe it's verse 19. Yeah, it's verse 19. So in this prayer by Paul, it says here, in verse 19, I'll read this from the King James. It says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." And then what does it say? "Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." Now, if you jump ahead and go into chapter 2 and verse 5, see, this says here, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So when he was raised from the dead, we were raised from the dead. And this Bible teacher, we support, not that ministry, but she's in the Fiji area. And she's got about 5 or 6 Rhema campuses down there, and they have a ship, and they go to all these uninhabited or islands where there's few people and preach the gospel. But she made this statement. She said, prior to Christ, everyone either went to Hades or hell, or they went to Abraham's bosom. Now, Enoch was translated, but other than a few, everybody went to either Hades or Abraham's bosom. So she made a point. She said, when Christ was raised from the dead, she said, what was Christ doing in hell? Luke chapter 4 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Let's look at that for a moment. We're still talking about healing here. Starting in verse 18, I'm going to look at this in the New Living Translation. Because Jesus, remember, he is the will of God manifested. So what did he say in Luke 4:18 and 19? He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released." Huh. I think the King James said he's come to set the captives free. And it says that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free. And that time of the Lord's favor has come. So the point was, he took our sicknesses and diseases, he bore them. This is what Isaiah 53 shares. And that all of the sick, the curse, he said he redeemed us from the what? The curse. So when he was raised from the dead, all those who had been incarcerated in hell or in Abraham's bosom, he went to hell. She said, "What do you think he was doing?" He was giving everyone that had been there for all these however many years an opportunity to receive him. And that when he was raised from the dead, it basically, she said, I believe it emptied hell. One time. After that, we have to make a choice. But they couldn't because Christ hadn't come. So he came to do what? Set the captives free. And this said here, he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We're redeemed from sickness and disease. So when the devil tries to put sickness and disease on your body, you've been given authority in his name to do what? Address it. Command it. Remind him. What does the scripture say? We're here to do what? Enforce the things that Jesus has paid for. Enforce it, meaning just like a police officer is there to enforce the laws that have been passed on the books, their responsibility is to do what? Enforce the laws. Well, we're here to enforce the authority over Christ. And he has no right to put sickness on me. It's been paid for. We have to be what? Convinced of that. That it's God's will. You know, so often, what does the world say when something happens? Well, I must have done something wrong. They're always thinking what? Negative. I must not have done something right. I missed God somewhere. Well, if you know you did, he said, if you ask him for forgiveness, he'll forgive you. So just make it right. Just fix it. You know, Brother Hagin talks about that. He was doing something, and he said things weren't working in his life. And he said, "Lord, this not right. Something's not right." He said, "Yeah, he had given him an opportunity to go out and do some work at his direction, and he said things weren't working." He said, "But I obeyed you. Why isn't this working?" He said, "You were obedient, but you weren't willing." And he said, "Well, I got willing real quick." And he said, "When I got willing, I made that little adjustment on the inside. I got willing." And he said, "Okay, Lord, now I'm willing. I changed it. My heart's changed. I'm willing." Because he obeyed the Lord, but he was like, you know, like, okay, I'll go. But he wasn't willing. And he said, once he got willing, he said, everything changed. So a lot of times we can open up the door in our lives, but he's said, if you ask for forgiveness, I'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So if you know that, just ask him for forgiveness. And things things change. But don't always think that just because things aren't changing in something that you did something wrong. You need to get clarity and direction from God. If he tells you, then fix it. But if he didn't, then you use your authority in Christ. Feed on the word of God. Right? Matthew 8:17 said this fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, he took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. Acts 10:38 in the New Living. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So who's with you? God is with you. You are anointed with his anointing. So that means if you're home and you got something going on, lay hands on yourself. Speak to your body. Speak the word of God. So if you've seen Jesus in action during his ministry, you've seen the will of God in action, in manifestation. That was the will of God in action. So when we see Jesus, we've seen the Father. Amen. So I just wanted to touch a little bit on this today. Because people have questions. People sometimes need to be reminded also. We may know it, but we need to be stirred up and reminded of God's will where his word is concerned. Because the way this world, the world, again, remember, is corrupted and influenced by the devil. But we have the Holy Ghost in us to lead us and guide us. So that's why it's so important to listen to him. Keep that those avenues open where you're listening to him. We're all busy. We all have busy lives. And so you're going through your life, but not to the exclusion of not hearing him or letting him prompt you. And be more yielded to him than like never before. Sometimes a thought will come and we just ignore it. And sometimes those directions are directions in the natural. And sometimes they're like, well, no, I'm not doing that. I want to do this. And we ignore the thought. But it was really him. Don't do this. Don't eat this. Or he may say, get up and exercise. I'm not exercising. I don't want to exercise. But maybe it was him. And I'm talking about these are directions that we get in the natural. And we either ignore them or we don't like that or whatever the case may be. There's all kinds of things. But this is where sometimes we miss the directions, and it's him. You know, we're looking for some spiritual thing, you know, tutu, you know, whatever. And it's these little thoughts that come. Check this, do this, go have this done, go have a checkup. And then you ignore it. I'm not doing that. And then sometimes we put ourselves in positions where now we're playing catch-up and we're on our knees. Oh, God, please help me. He said, I've been trying for the last 5 years, but you've been ignoring me. You see what I mean? So let's be more sensitive and not just ignore thoughts. I share something. I shared this in Nanuet. I've shared this a few times up here, but years ago, I'm going back many years ago now, I was working the word in this area of healing. I quoted the scriptures every day. I spoke them. I meditated on them. And I was reaping a harvest because health and vitality was working in me. But how many know you can be working it in one area and you're not working it in two or three other areas? You might be working in the area of healing, but maybe you ain't walking in love. So anyways, back then, this is 30 plus years ago, maybe 40. So anyways, I wasn't working the word like I was in the area of healing. I wasn't working the word in the area of finances. I wasn't speaking the word of God, claiming it for me, the word for me. And yet, at that time, I had decided, this was actually before I came to the ministry, I had decided I was going to, I purposed, you know, when the scripture says, as a man purposeth in his heart, I purposed. I didn't get any direction from God. I purposed in my heart to sow into the ministries 30% of my salary. So I did that. But I was not speaking the word of what I should reap. When it says, your seed, I'll multiply your seed, I'll increase the fruit of your righteousness, all that. I wasn't speaking that when I brought my seed in. I just brought it in. I'm joyful. I'm putting it in the bucket. I'm rejoicing. And I'm not seeing any change. Nada. Nothing. And I didn't say anything, but I'm beginning to say, hey, what's up here? There should be something happening. And so in a time of just worship and prayer, the Holy Ghost spoke this to me. He said, if you'll work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. Well, I got busy. I started to speak. I saw it. I said, yeah, I'm not speaking the word. I'm not confessing it over my offering. That's why when we speak over our offering, when we bring it in, we're not just trying to make people do it. It's because there's a principle behind it. It works. As a man soweth, so shall he reap. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully will reap bountifully. So anyways, I started changing. I made that adjustment. And not long after that, very shortly after that, a thought came. And I didn't act on it. It helps me every time I say this. This was the thought. Just a thought. Buy Apple stock. And I went, buy Apple stock? And I didn't. And at that time, the stock was 40 a share or less. Yeah, I have to take a deep breath every time I do this because. Anyways, I didn't act on it. And the more I waited, the more I waited, I didn't do it. Because it wasn't something I did. I had stock, but I didn't get the Wall Street Journal. I didn't look at what's up, what's down, I'm going to invest in it. I didn't do that. So this was foreign to me. And I didn't act on it. So let me just share a little post update here. So our sound guy, when I shared this a couple weeks ago, he sent me a text. He said, you know, Apple has split since they went public five times, And from the time that you would have bought, they split four times. One time was 2-1, second time was 2-1, one was 4-1, and one was 7-1. He said, that one share, if you'd bought one share today, that one share would be worth 224 shares. So let me give you a little perspective. At that time, I was considering buying 100 shares. I was. Because I had, you know, I had some play money. I had $4,000 or $5,000. And I said, well, I could buy 100 shares. That's $4,000. I didn't do it. Those 100 shares today would be 22,000 shares. And at today's current market price, it'd be worth over $4 million. So you see how we can miss things and we can just ignore a thought and keep trucking, and God was trying to get money, a lot of money, to me because I had changed my words. Now, yes, it would have taken 30, 40 years for it to happen, but the point is, it was his direction. It was his direction to me. You did this, I'm going to do this for you. And that was a mistake. But I also heard in my spirit recently, he said, it's still not too late. I said, yeah. See, that's the kind of God we serve. He said, it's still not too late. So that's why I say, follow him, follow his directions in your life. Make sure you stay close, listen to him. Because what he says, if it was the Holy Ghost, it's good. It's going to be good for you. So, whether we're talking the area of healing, like for me, I'm just sharing this because when he gave me those directions, I didn't feel comfortable. I was just something churning in here. Even though I was in a lot of pain, I went to that surgeon and I said, something not right. Nope. And I left. They're calling. I said, no, I ain't coming back. And of course, they're thinking, you're nuts. But when the Holy Ghost directs you, it's right. It's right. And it will prove out if we'll just listen to him. And I'm not saying we don't quote the word. I'm not saying we don't feed on the word, because it says that, and it says to, we believe and therefore we speak. Well, we do speak the word. It says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and what? Shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things that you say will come to pass, you'll have what you say. But the believing and saying isn't me just independent of God chasing off over here and doing something without his leading. Especially when stuff is, when it's hitting the fan. I need to know what to do, what to speak, what to believe. And that goes in healing, that goes finances. That's why I say we're not subject to the tyrannical rule of the devil. We're not subject to him anymore. He puts his stuff on people, but if he tries to put it on me, no, I don't serve you anymore. Take your junk and leave. So that's all we're really sharing today. Get a hold of God and his word, feed upon it, but also look to the greater one that's in you. Look to him for direction. Look for him for guidance. Oh, yes. Amen. Just share those thoughts today. Hope that helps. Because it takes, you got to keep meditating. Talk about it. Sometimes if you don't have an answer, talk. Just, you know, isn't it, when we talk, usually if you hang around people long enough and they talk, they'll talk about things they're thinking about. And so sometimes when we get together as believers, talk about the things that maybe you have a question on. Maybe another believer has an answer. Maybe they've walked through that. Maybe God's given them some insight or direction on that. Maybe it'll help you. So sometimes when we're impressed to share something, sometimes people have questions. They're struggling with something. Or maybe they weren't getting results like they thought they should, right? And maybe something we experience, you go, oh, that's what I was missing that. Yeah, I see that. Yep. Because the Word of God is settled and it works. But we need the helper and how to apply it. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Get anything out of that? Yep. Well, the rest of you nudge them and wake them up. Anyway. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, you know, this is the things that we did. When we have a healing class every week, we would just go through week after week and just share God's word so that your confidence builds in the word of God. You know, I've used this example. If I went over and I handed you a $100 bill, you'd say, okay. Or if you said, well, I'm going to give somebody a $100 bill in here. Well, you don't know I'm going to give it to you. You say, I'd sure like that, but I don't know if he's going to give it to me. Well, that's a lot of times, like people, you say, well, healing's for us, and they go, well, that's great. I just don't know if he'll heal me. You have to be convinced it's for you. That's where we are with the Word of God a lot of times. People have had so many experiences in life that sometimes people aren't absolutely convinced that healing is God's will. Regardless of what I experience, it's his will. Because to question that, you would have to question redemption. You'd have to question all the scriptures that say himself took my infirmities and bore my sickness. You'd have to question that. And he said, I never change. I never change. So his word is true, regardless of whether we miss it or not. It says, God be true. What does it say? And every man a liar. So even though we miss things, God's still true. He's still good. If people miss it, you know, and they leave this earth and they're saved and maybe they didn't see all the light in the word of God, it's still true. God's word is still true and he's still good. And they're in heaven, enjoying paradise. We may miss them, but God is good and his word is forever settled in heaven. Amen. Amen, amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, that was it. That's all I had in my heart to share. And praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is food for our spirits. And we thank you that as we listen to your word, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, the rhema of God's word. And so we thank you, Father, today, feeding on this particular subject of healing and your will and what your will is, and we thank you, we embrace it, we take it to ourselves, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading and guiding us, and you said you bring things to our remembrance. So thank you that you bring to our remembrance the word of God that we can apply in our lives. And so, Father, we thank you and give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen.